This Sunday is Palm Sunday. Look at the beautiful palm leaves down there. Praise the Lord. This is beginning what we call as Holy Week. Holy Week. And you might be wondering to yourself, well, what exactly is Holy Week? I mean, what is Holy Week anyway? Why do we call it Holy Week? Well, Holy Week begins on Palm Sunday. And it's the last week that Jesus was with us before he was died. And so it's kind of a somber event for Christians. We take Palm Sunday as the beginning to start thinking about what that last week was like for the Lord. We think about his triumphant entry into Jerusalem. I'm going to talk about that today. That's what we celebrate as Palm Sunday. We talk about his betrayal by Judas. We think about that. We think about the Last Supper that he has with his 12 disciples. And we think about how he was trying to teach them that precious lesson of servanthood by washing their feet. We think about his arrest. We think about his crucifixion and his death and his burial in that tomb. And of course, then we celebrate Easter, his resurrection, showing that Jesus not only lived among us, not only paid the price for our sins, not only did he die on the cross for our sins, but he was raised again, and someday you and I will be raised with him. Praise the Lord. Amen. That's glorious. So I don't know about you, but I'm excited to be in the house of the Lord today. I'm excited to be able to preach on Palm Sunday and share with you what God has laid on my heart. So if you have your Bibles, open up the Bibles today to Luke chapter 19. Today we're going to be in Luke chapter 19. So if you have your Bibles, Luke chapter 19, we're going to look at verses 29 through 40. The title of today's message is The Big Reveal. The Big Reveal. So let me set the stage for you a little bit as you're turning there today. For 3 years, Jesus has been working really hard building his ministry. For 3 years, he's performed miracle after miracle after miracle. For 3 years, he's been healing people. He's been taking care of the lame and the sick and the lepers and the blind. He's been doing all these great miracles. And for 3 years, Jesus had attracted one crowd after another, all leading up to this glorious event. And just less than 1 week ago, Jesus went to his friend Mary and Martha's house. And there, their brother Lazarus was found dead and buried for 4 days. And Jesus rose him from the grave. Praise the Lord. Just like Jesus is going to come from the grave, just like we're going to come from the grave. After 4 days of sitting in there, Jesus had brought him back. And so the crowd is excited. They can't wait. All these miracles happen, all these exciting things. Crowd is excited. Jesus is looking forward to this. And so his entry into Jerusalem, it's not just going to be some boring stroll into the city as he did on his 2 feet many times before. Oh no, this is going to be a big reveal. I don't know if many of you out there watch the show Fixer Upper. Has anybody ever seen that show with Chip and Joanna Gaines, right? What they do is they go out with a couple and they look at 3 or 4 houses. And they find one of their favorite houses, and then Joanna says, here's how I can make it your dream house. And then Chip and his construction team, they work super hard, and they build this house to be absolutely phenomenal. And then at the end, what happens is they take 2 big canvas pictures of this house, and they slide it together, and the couple, they have so much anticipation, they can't wait to see, what is my dream home going to actually look like? And 2 people pull that canvas away, and it reveals their dream house. Folks, the big reveal that I'm talking about today, Jesus revealing himself, is going to be bigger than even that. It's going to be an amazing blessing. Jesus is going to come into Jerusalem, and he's going to go in there to proclaim. He's going to go in there to deliberately tell everybody and declare that he's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He's the Messiah. He's the King of Israel, the Promised One. And so that's what we're going to read about today. This, is, folks, is so important. It's in every gospel in our Bible. I mean, that means it's pretty important. Amen. Every gospel in our Bible. And so without further ado, let's look back to Luke chapter 19 and see what the scripture says about celebrating Palm Sunday in the big reveal. Here's what it says. And it came to pass when he drew near Bethpage and Bethany at the mountains called Olivet that he sent 2 of his disciples saying, go into the village opposite you. Whereas you enter, you will find a colt tied, no one which has ever sat. Loose it and bring it here. And if anyone asks of you, why are you loosing it? Thus you shall say to them, because the Lord has the need of it. So those who were sent their way, and they found it just as he had said to him. But as they were loosing the colt, the owners of it said to him, why are you loosing this donkey colt? And they said, the Lord has need of him. Then they brought him to Jesus, and they threw their own clothes on the donkey, and they set Jesus upon him. And as they went, they spread many of their clothes on the road. Thus, as he was drawing near the descent of Mount Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and to praise God with a loud voice of the almighty works he had seen, saying, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd, teacher, rebuke your disciples. But he answered and said to them, I tell you that if I should keep them silent, the stones would immediately cry out. Praise the Lord. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we're here to celebrate this Palm Sunday with you, God. We thank you, Jesus, for all the things that you had to endure. We thank you for all the trials and the tribulations that you were faced with. We thank you for the 40 days and the 40 nights that you were without food in the desert, that you were being tested before you even went into your ministry. We thank you, God, that when you were tested in all these different ways, Jesus, that you had never sinned. God, we thank you, Lord, for coming down, leaving the side of your heavenly Father in the heavens to come down and live among us, Lord, to teach us, Lord, to raise us, Lord, and to forgive us for our sins, God. We thank you for going through that long walk, that long shameful walk as people were mean to you, as people cheered, crucify him, crucify him. As people spit upon you as you were walking, carrying that cross that symbolized all of our pain, all of our sin, all of our suffering. We thank you, Jesus, for doing that for us. And Lord, help us, God, as we get ready to receive the word that you have given us today, Lord. Fill us with your Spirit, God, and let the Spirit move and touch every single one of us, Lord. Help us to truly see this Holy Week as a week that it was. Thank you, Jesus, for all these things you've done, but thank you most for forgiving us for our sins, for dying on that cross so that we could be forgiven, and for coming back alive again, Lord, to show us that someday we will be in heaven with you. Thank you, Jesus. We love you, for it's in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Now, you know, many times I like to start out my message with a question to get our gears turning, you know, our minds moving a little bit, because the climate can be a little warm, you could get a little tired, and I don't want that to happen, so I want you to think. I don't want you to answer out loud yet, but I want you to think about this question. The question I have for you is this. What is the most important vehicle you've ever rode in or rode on? What is the most important vehicle you've ever rode in or rode on? Now think about that. For some, it may be the ambulance that took your mother to the hospital where she gave birth to you. For others, it could be an armored vehicle that protected you while you were fighting in a war. Still, for some, it may be that car or that truck or that minivan or that bus that took you to church that day you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. What was the most important vehicle you've ever rode in or rode on? Does anybody want to share? Your minivan! Praise the Lord. Why is your minivan so important? Because otherwise you'd have to walk, right? Yeah, that's a pretty important vehicle to ride in. Anybody else? Deborah.
School bus, chaperoning, making sure all the kids are comfortable and safe and where they need to be so parents can be reminded.
Amen. That's good. Yeah, school bus chaperone for sure. Definitely. Anybody else have one they want to share? Special vehicle, yes?
Going to church when I was a kid and accepting the Lord.
Amen, brother. Praise the Lord. That's right. So Jesus is getting ready to ride in on this vehicle. A vehicle he hadn't ridden on before. It was going to be kind of a new vehicle for him. And what he was going to ride in was, of all things, a donkey colt. Say, wow, that's exciting, Pastor. Well, it is kind of, because if you look at all of Jesus' ministry, the only other time we see Jesus riding on something is a boat.
Really?
So this time he's kicking it up a notch. He's changing modes of transportation. This time he is riding on a donkey colt. And so you say, well, is he riding on this donkey colt because he's just too lazy to walk the last couple miles to Jerusalem? No, it has nothing to do with that. What it has to do with is he is fulfilling the prophecy that was written by Zechariah back in chapter 9, verse 9. Here's what it says there. It says that the coming of Zion's king, see your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, a foal of a donkey. And this just wasn't any donkey. This was a donkey that had never been ridden on before. Never. And this donkey was even more special than that. This donkey was so special that Jesus knew even where the donkey was, what its purpose was, even before he went into the town. So yes, Jesus' special vehicle was a donkey. And so these two disciples, they arrive into town, and they find that this donkey is just as Jesus says. It's up in this area. It's never been rode on. This is where you need to go. And I always thought, you know what? That's interesting. How could Jesus know there was a donkey that had never been ridden on all of his life? Now, I can see how Jesus might know where a donkey lives. Because I'll tell you, I drive past a lot of houses and a lot of places, and I see where cars are parked sometimes and not parked. And so I could say, well, if you go past Doobie's at 4:30, you might see a gold Toyota Avalon. I'd be pretty safe at saying that. Or maybe a red Toyota pickup truck. I could be safe at saying that most of the time. But Jesus said, there's going to be a donkey over here. Not just is it a donkey, but it's one that no one has ever ridden on. And so I thought about that. And I said, you know what? Even while Jesus was on the face of this earth, he was omniscient. He knew. His Father had told him that. And so I want to pause here for a minute and take this a step further, because maybe you've missed this out of the Palm Sunday story, the 25 or 30 years or 5 years you've been going to church. If Jesus knew that there was a donkey waiting for him in the next town, don't you think he knows what's down the road for you?
True.
Think about it. If Jesus knew there was a donkey never ridden on waiting for him in the next town, I think he knows what's in store for you. I think he knows what's down the road for you. So you might not know how that medical test is going to go, but Jesus does. You might not know whether there's going to be a decent job for you when you graduate high school or college, or you get ready to go into the work field, but Jesus knows just how he's going to provide for you. You might not know how you're going to go through this financial difficulty, this health problem, this relationship struggle, but you know what? Jesus knows. And because Jesus knows, because Jesus loves us, because he cares about us, you know what? I think we can follow this guy, man. I think we can trust him. Amen. And so listen to what the disciples did. They did just that. In Luke verses 29 through 32, it says, and it came to pass, when he drew near Bethpage and Bethany, at the mountain called Olivet, that he sent two of his disciples, saying, go into the village opposite you, where as you enter you will find a colt tied, that no one has ever sat. Loose it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you why you are loosing it, thus you shall say to them, because the Lord has need of it. So those who were on their way went and found it just as he had said to him. So Jesus sends these two little disciples on a mission. And the Bible doesn't tell us who it is. I always wondered why. And as I was studying this week, I found out, you know why? Because this isn't about the disciples. We don't need to know what two went. This is about Jesus. This is about him revealing himself. And so he's revealed his will to these disciples. And what do they do with that? They go up there, they follow him, and they find it just the way that this donkey colt was. They didn't question him. They didn't ask him a million questions. Well, where are we going to get the money from? Did he give you any money, buddy? Well, no, he didn't give me any money. Well, how are we going to pay for this thing? You got any peanuts in your pocket? I mean, are we going to leave this donkey with a carrot? You got one of those, bro? How are we going to get this donkey to follow us? He didn't ask any of those questions. The disciples said, this is what you want? Then we're going. I wonder what our life would be like if we would just listen to the Lord and do what he tells us to do. What if when the Holy Spirit guided us, we didn't question that? We just went and we just followed. Let me put it to you this way. If Jesus told you, he said, hey, Bill, I need you and Ron. Need you guys to go up there and get that donkey colt and bring it back. What would you say? You say, well, who owns it? I mean, how are we going to get it back? No. Don't ask any of those questions. Just go get it. That's what those disciples did. And if Jesus asked you to do that, wouldn't you be able to do it? You might be able to say yes sitting in those pews. But let me put it in a different way, a more modern way. Jesus says, hey, Sunrise Real Baptist Church, I need you to pick two people. And you got to go out there to that Emporia Mall. I'm telling you, right in front of JCPenney's, there's a beautiful red pickup truck, four-wheel drive lift kit. I want you to go pick that up. There'll be the keys in it. I just want you to go over there and get it. And then I want you to bring it back and drive it to me. If the security people ask you or the police or, hey, the guy or gal who owns it, just tell them the Lord needs it. The keys will be in the truck. Just go get it and bring it back. How many of you would go and get it? Yeah, I mean, that would be a little risky, right? So now you're starting to see these disciples. They didn't ask the questions. They were like, what? The donkey's over there? Let's go get the donkey. But if I saw a car with keys in it and Jesus told me to get it, I'd probably say, Lord, is that really you? I know I've always wanted a beautiful truck like that. It can't be. God, Lord, please, please. Maybe in my case, it wouldn't be a big truck. It'd be like a Lamborghini or something. But you never know. But so these people, they went and they got it. And they came back. You know what happens with us? Many times when Jesus reveals his will to us, we start asking questions. When Jesus asks you to do something, you start asking questions, don't you? I do too. We start asking, is this going to work out? I mean, is this really from God? How am I going to get this done? Where am I going to get the money? I don't even have the skills to do this. Don't we? We may pray and pray and pray and pray and pray. Lord, please show me your will. Please show me what you want. Then Jesus reveals it to us and then we say, should we really do this? Lord, are you really talking to me? So I'll tell you, when God asks you to do something, it may be far out there. It may be something that you're way too scared to do, way too risky, but if you do it, and you do what the Lord asks you, there will be a blessing at the end of that rainbow. Amen?
Amen.
I remember a time I was driving, running errands for the church. It was a Wednesday. And I was driving. I saw a guy who was intoxicated. And that's just a nice way to put it. Because if this was 6th Avenue in the middle of the street where these palm leaves are, he was kind of...
Walking a little crooked,
wasn't he? Yeah, he walking a little crooked. And I started creeping up on him like, what is this guy doing in the middle of the street?
Trying to get him.
And I thought, well, I don't know. Maybe somebody else take care of that guy. But then I felt the Holy Spirit. I felt the Lord kind of lead me. You should roll down your window and talk to him. No, I shouldn't. And then I felt God tell me, you should do that. Maybe my power window button won't work. Of course it works. Hey, how are you doing today? I'm doing just fine. Just trying to find my way home. Well, you want me to give you a ride there? Sure. And then I start thinking of all those things. Man, this guy's going to puke in my truck. This guy's going to puke all over me. What am I doing, Lord? Open the door, he gets in, I take him there, and I tell him, you know what? You should come to church with us tonight. I'm drunk. I don't care. Get some clothes on. What is the pastor going to think? I am the pastor. So he comes. Comes that Wednesday night, and you all receive him in a beautiful way. You don't ask questions. You may look at me a little funny, but you don't ask any questions. You love him just like anybody else. And because of that, through months and months of Jesus ministering to him, he accepts Jesus as Lord and Savior. He now has a great job working for a railroad in Markham, Illinois, and he's serving at his church as the maintenance man. Praise the Lord. You see, Jesus may lead you down paths. He may give you things to do that don't make sense. But he's giving you them because they're going to make a blessing in your life or somebody else's life. It's important to follow what the Lord is leading you to. These disciples, they didn't know how things were going to turn out. They didn't know what was going to happen. Jesus said, hey, I need you to go get this donkey for me. It's over here. It's never been ridden on. Go untie it and bring it back. And they did, and because they did, they were blessed. So the first thing Jesus reveals is, when he reveals his will to you, you should follow it. When he revealed his will to these disciples, they followed it, and he was blessed. Now the second thing, he's going to reveal himself to the crowd. All those people. Huge crowd. Listen to this in Luke 19, 37 through 38. It says, "Then as he was now drawing near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all his mighty works that they had seen, saying, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.'" Folks, this crowd was excited. He was marching into one of the biggest parades that have ever taken place before. Josephus, one of the historians, he said over 2.5 million people were in town because of the Passover. 2.5 million. Folks, let me put that into perspective for you. We got about 25,000 in Emporia. That's 100 times the amount of people in Emporia. That's a lot of people. Can you even imagine that?
Yeah.
That's a lot of people. I mean, we had a St. Patrick's Day parade a couple weeks ago, right? And there was maybe a couple hundred there. But can you imagine all these people? We don't even know how many people it was. We just know there's 2.5 million in the city at that time. And there were tons of people coming. These people were in the streets. They were lining up. They were so excited. They were putting down their clothes so that when Jesus came on that donkey, he would be walking on basically a red carpet. He'd be walking on all their clothes. This wasn't extra clothes they had. This was the clothes they were wearing on their back. Sometimes they used their coats for their blankets at night. I mean, they were sacrificing to be able to see him come. Then they took the palm leaves like you see on the ground here today, and they would wave those because the king was coming. And that was one of the traditions that they would do. And then they would lay him at his feet as he would come across. These people were excited, more excited than you could ever imagine. And they're shouting this. They shout, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord." They're saying, essentially, "You're the one that God sent us. You're the one that God sent to save us." That's what Hosanna means. And so here they are. "You're the God one sent. You're the one God sent. Save us, save us." So people were excited. What were they excited about? They thought Jesus was going to be a king who was going to deliver them from the Romans. They were all excited because they said, "I've seen all the miracles this guy has performed. What is he going to do now? Good luck, Mr. Roman guy. You're going down, sucker. My king is coming." They were excited. They were waiting to see, what is Jesus going to do? What is he going to do? But remember, Jesus didn't come in riding on a stallion. He came riding in on a donkey. His purpose wasn't to come and be their earthly king. His purpose was to come and be their heavenly king and to deliver them from sin. And so they were excited because they thought he was going to be an earthly king. And let's be honest. If you were going to pick a president, if you were going to pick a king, how would you not pick Jesus? I mean, seriously. Jesus was everything you could hope for in a leader. This guy was charismatic. He was decisive. He was powerful. He was capable of feeding thousands of soldiers with just a couple of nuggets of bread and a couple fish. I mean, and if the soldiers got hurt, he could heal them right up. If they died, he'd raise them from the dead. I mean, that's a leader I'd want to follow. Can you imagine that? That'd be amazing, wouldn't it? What army on the face of this earth could face that type of a king? But you see, that wasn't the king that Jesus had in mind. You say, "Well, Pastor, how do you know that?" Well, because I read the Word. And in John 18:36, Jesus tells Pilate this. He says, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would fight, and I shouldn't be delivered into the hands of the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from here." So, well, the people, they wanted an earthly king. Jesus didn't come for that. He came to be a heavenly king. And you know what? When they found that out 5 days later, you know what they were shouting? Instead of, "Hosanna, Hosanna," they were shouting what, Brother Bill?
Crucify
him. Crucify him. They were so excited. Sacrificing their clothes. Sacrificing everything that they had so this king could come in. Less than 5 days later, they're shouting, "Crucify him. Kill him." They wanted his blood. How can people change their mind so fast? How can people go from being super excited to now wanting to kill somebody? Why are we like that? Before you start being so judgmental on these people, I want to ask you some questions that may pertain to you today. How do you handle God revealing things to you? When God reveals something to you? When the situation at hand doesn't turn out the way that you had hoped? Do you turn your back on Him?
No.
Do you start complaining?
No.
How do you handle it when God doesn't answer your prayers the way that you want Him to answer? Instead of praising Him, do now you go to rejecting Him? Do now you go to complaining? Or do you accept the answer that He's given you? Let me get a little more personal. How do you handle it when God reveals your sin to you? When God says, Joyce, you've done this. When God says, George, you've done this. Do you repent? Or do you try to justify it? Well, you see, God, what I was really doing was this or this. So before we start getting so judgmental of all these people that were praising Him and then shouting, crucify Him 5 days later, maybe we should look inside of ourselves too. How do we handle it when Jesus reveals Himself to us? They wanted a warrior to deliver Him from the hands of the Romans, but what they got was a heavenly king that came to save them from their sins. So far on this big Palm Sunday reveal, we see two things. First, we see Jesus reveals His plans to the disciples, and the disciples accept Him and follow Him. Second, we see Him reveal Himself as the true Messiah to these crowds of people. And the people at first are excited and happy, but 5 days later, they reject Him too and shout, crucify Him. Finally, let's see how the Pharisees deal with this revealing. Verses 39 and 40 says, and some of the Pharisees called to Him from the crowd, Teacher, rebuke your disciples. But He answered and said to them, I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out. When Jesus revealed Himself to the Pharisees, when He showed who He truly was to the Pharisees, were they excited? Absolutely not. They weren't too happy with Him. In fact, they shouted, rebuke your disciples. You see, the Pharisees had a lot to lose. If the Romans were able to choose Jesus as their king, they were going to have problems. These religious leaders already didn't want Jesus in the picture. He was already taking the fame away from them. He was already taking the things that they saw in their heart that they wanted because He was the true king. And so if these Pharisees and everybody else found out that Jesus was the real king, there was going to be a problem. And so what He did is, He said, I heard those people, those Pharisees, they heard the people shout, Hosanna to the highest, which means come and save us. They said, you're only supposed to say those words to people that are the Messiah. And Jesus, He's not that Messiah. And Jesus, what did He do? Did He deny Himself for them, for their bad attitudes, for any of that stuff? No, He came to proclaim Himself as the Messiah. He said, I'm the King of Kings. I'm the Lord of Lords. If I tell those people to be quiet, even the stones will shout out. Because He's the Son of God. You might be wondering, why do I have all these rocks up here today? No, it's because we're going to have a rock concert. Well, if the stones would cry out, we might have a rock concert, right?
Yep.
You look at these rocks and you say, Pastor, you know, maybe that's a figure of speech. Maybe that's not really rocks going to cry out praise for Jesus if those people would shut up. You say, Pastor, do you really believe rocks could do anything? Yeah, I do. Jesus made a donkey talk. Remember last week? Guy was beating, Balaam was beating that donkey. Beat it once. Beat it twice, beat it a third time. The donkey looked down and said, hey, why you beat me? What's the deal here? They got into an argument. If he can make a donkey talk, I believe this stone could do something like that. I believe God created him. If God created him, He can make it do anything He wants. You say, all right, Pastor, well, if you're so smart, if your little stone could cry out to Jesus, well, what might it say? One rock might tell you a story about how David used him to be able to defeat Goliath. This rock might say, hey man, my cousin was awesome, man. David used him in his little slingshot and he took down Goliath. Maybe that's what this rock might say. Then I pick up another rock. This guy's a little rough around the edges. What might he say? He might say, you know what? Me and my buddies, we were with Elijah, and he used us to build an altar just for him. Whoa, pretty cool. And we pick up another one of these rocks. He might say, you know what? I was one of the rocks that Jesus used when the temple was being built. Could these rocks cry out? Could these rocks tell stories? Absolutely, if Jesus wanted them to. Jesus said, Pharisees, listen to me. If I tell those people to be quiet, even the stones will cry out. How did the Pharisees handle Jesus' big reveal? They rejected him too. So as I get ready to close the message today, in the Palm Sunday story, we see this big reveal. We see Jesus revealed to the disciples what his will was for them. They listened, and without question, they went to go get that donkey colt. We see Jesus revealed himself to the crowd. Told them he was the Messiah, the King. He rode in on the donkey, fulfilled the prophecy in Zechariah 9:9. And the crowds were happy, but 5 days later they found out he wasn't going to deliver him for the Romans. And they shouted, crucify him! Crucify him! And that's why we celebrate Good Friday today. Then we see the reaction the Pharisees had when Jesus reveals himself to them as the Messiah. They were upset. They said, rebuke your disciples. Tell them you're not the King. So they rejected him and didn't believe he was the Messiah. Well, you might be thinking, that's great, Pastor. Thanks for the history lesson. But how does this have anything to do with me? Well, the question I have for you this morning is this. Once God reveals himself to you, what will you be like? When God reveals himself to you, are you going to be like the disciples? And you're going to follow his will? Are you going to be like the crowds where you're cheering them on for a few minutes, and then the next thing you're doing is walking away and turning your back? Are you going to be like the Pharisees and say, Jesus could have done all that stuff for you, but he's not who he says he is. I reject him. Once God reveals himself to you, what will you do? Will you rejoice and accept him? Will you embrace him? Or will you deny him? You know, I remember being introduced to Jesus as a little boy. We had bad family problems. My mom and my dad were involved in alcohol and drugs and a lot of other things. My grandma, she took me to a Catholic church. Said, this is what you need. Because she didn't know how to help me either. My grandma was a wonderful woman. But she would continue to give our family money. And our family would continue to abuse it. And all it was really doing was enabling our family to continue to have the same bad behavior. She didn't know what to do. But she took me. She said, Shorty, that's my nickname. She said, come with me. Come on, let's go to church. I said, man, I want to go anywhere to get out of here. She took me to this little Catholic church. And I started to learn about Jesus. But I didn't really accept him as my Lord and Savior until I was in the military. And when I was in the military, I was kneeling by my bunk one day reading the story about the Sermon on the Mount, five loaves and two fish story. Then I got down on my knees, and when Jesus revealed himself to me, I accepted him as my Lord and Savior. And you know what? That changed my life. But not only did it change my life, it changed my wife's life, it changed my kids' life, and through me accepting Jesus as my Lord and Savior, I believe it has changed a lot of people's lives in this church. Amen. It's up to you what you're going to do when God reveals himself to you. Only you can make that decision. But when you come face to face with Jesus, you have to decide. Are you going to be like the crowds? Praise him and then turn your back on him? Are you going to be like the Pharisees and completely reject him? Or are you going to be like the disciples that just do whatever he tells you to do? As we stand and we get ready to bow our heads and go to the Lord in prayer, I just want you to think about that one thing. How will you respond when Jesus comes riding humbly into your life? Let's bow our heads and go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you today, God. You are the Almighty. You are the King of Kings, God. There is nobody else above you. Lord, you're everything. God, this Palm Sunday, help us to realize that you really are everything. Help us, God, as you reveal yourself to us, to come and say, you know what, Jesus, I believe in you. I accept you. I want you to be my Lord and Savior, you know? Just like you died and were raised again, I want to die and be raised again. I want to go to heaven someday, a place with no pain, no suffering, no hurt, no mourning. Lord, help me not to be like that crowd. I'm going through some situations right now, Jesus. And I know I should be trusting you, but I'm trying to do them all myself. Lord, I don't want to be the guy who praises you one day and turns around on you the next day. Lord, I want to come to you. I want to trust you. I want to believe in you. Maybe you're struggling with that today. Let me tell you that Jesus is who he says he is. He knew where that donkey was. He knew it had never been ridden. And he knows where you are today. And he knows what you're going through. And he knows how you're going to come through it. Maybe he's just waiting on you to come and humble yourself before him. I don't know what you're going through today, but Jesus does. How are you going to act when Jesus rolls into your life? Think about that as Josh plays this song of invitation. If anybody would like to come for any reason to the altars, you're welcome to come and pray at this time. Many hearts, Lord. Lord's been good to us today. Amen.
Amen. Amen.